empowers us unto sanctification. The third thing he does to the world of judgment, because the prince of this world is judge. The Spirit has shown, he has contrasted man's utter sinfulness and God's perfect righteousness. And there's an obvious contrast and there's a conflict between the two. It's resolved one of two ways. One way for it to be resolved is that man gets God's righteousness, just as we talked about, that by faith in Christ Jesus, we trade our sin which he bore for the righteousness of Christ, and we receive righteousness by Christ's sacrifice. But if that is refused, as we talked about under sin, they believe not on me. If the offer of Christ is refused, there's only one way for the conflict between our sin and God's righteousness to be resolved. It is that man receives the just judgment for his sin. The just judgment for sin. We know that is an eternity in hell. And people say, well, I live a finite life. How can I deserve an infinite punishment in hell? The reason is because the difference between sin and God's righteousness. God is an infinite God and his righteousness is infinite. And to be an affront, our sin is an affront to that righteousness. It is an infinite affront. And our minds can't hardly fathom that. But the God that created us and loved us and made a way of salvation by the death of his Son, to reject that is an infinite sin, an infinite affront to him, deserving spiritual death for all eternity. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The ruler of this wicked world system, the originator of sin, Satan, he is judged. He is judged. All sin has been judged on the cross of Christ, and thus Satan, the author of all sin, is judged by the cross. Let's look together at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Paul writes, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, or the charges that were to our account, which is contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Those principalities and powers, that is the power of this world system, led by Satan. But Christ spoiled them. That's when you think of a city being attacked. It's not that they came to some negotiated truce. It's that the walls were breached and the city was totally plundered and totally defeated. That is what Christ did to the power of Satan. Satan is a defeated foe. Yes, he has some freedom now. He is allowed to have some power in earth now. But he was defeated. His power was broken by the cross. And therefore, Satan has no power unto him, but that is allowed for a time by God. And Satan has no power over the believer. He is a defeated foe, and if we are Christ's child, Satan has no claim over us. We can't say, the devil made me do it, because he has no power over us. It's by our own lust that we are drawn away. So Satan is defeated because Christ died for the sins of the whole world. If Christ only died and took care of some of the sins, then how does that break Satan's hold over the whole world? Because Christ died for all sin, he took away all authority from Satan. Many in the world, they think they're living life on trial. And we get to the end, God's going to put our good and bad in the balances and see how it pans out. Friend, the unbeliever is not on trial. The verdict is already in. And it is guilty. Let's look at John 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's not that the unbeliever will be condemned when they die or condemned before Christ. They stand condemned today. All that's left is to carry out the sentence. All that's left is to carry out the sentence in hell. John 12, 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. The judgment of the world came on the cross. The sin of the whole world was judged on the cross, and therefore Satan's power was broken. Although he's biding his time, he will be ultimately cast out. The Holy Spirit speaks of judgment to come, but the judgment that already hangs over the unbeliever. Jonathan Edwards' famous sermon, Sinner in the Hands of Angry God, he speaks of the unbeliever like a spider over a flame. And all the flame must do is lick that little strand above him that they plummet. And that's stark imagery, but that is exactly the case. That how fragile are our lives? How soon can death come? And if that comes to one outside of Christ, they are immediately in torment and punishment. So the Spirit speaks to this. That's a hard thing to say, but the Spirit speaks it to people's hearts. The righteousness of God and the judgment that they deserve. And we see a mark of the Spirit's convicting of judgment, but also the fact that the prince of this world is judged, because the Holy Spirit is restraining wickedness in this age. Let's look back at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. So Christ, through the pen of inspiration, Paul is speaking of the end times, speaking of the Antichrist coming, and he says the seeds of Antichrist are already here. 1 John tells us that the spirit of Antichrist is everyone who rejects the name and the work of Christ. But he says, him that letteth will let. That is the Holy Spirit. He is restraining evil for a time. The Antichrist cannot come. Satan cannot work his full plan as long as the Holy Spirit is here restraining that evil. However bad you think the world is today, it's going to be so much worse after the Holy Spirit stops his restraining ministry. So that shows how the power of Satan is broken. The Holy Spirit restrains evil. However, all who reject Christ will follow their father, Satan. They follow him in works today, and they will follow him in judgment, final judgment someday. Let's look back at Revelation. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That is the end of Satan. And that's what the Holy Spirit speaks to heart. Satan and his demons say, come on, there's nothing beyond, let's have a good time now. And the Holy Spirit says, there's judgment to come, and Satan will be first in line. That's where Satan's end is, the lake of fire. Revelation 20, 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, that is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Everyone who rejects the provision of Christ will end up in that lake of fire. They followed Satan in this life, and they will follow him in eternity. That's a hard message. That's not a popular message. That's why the world hates us, because we preach that message and tells them about their ultimate end. But that is what's coming, friend, and that's what the Holy Spirit says, and man can't change that. The world will be judged. But the Spirit, again, he speaks to believers. He reminds us that we do face judgment. We do not face the great white throne judgment. We have no worry of eternity in hell. But we must be cognizant that our works will be judged, the judgment seat of Christ. What we did in this world will be before him. And those things we did in our flesh, those things that we weren't done for the Lord, they'll burn up as wood, hay, and stubble. Only those things we did led by His Spirit for His honor and glory will endure. So He reminds us of that, and back to that thing of doing those things which are expedient. There's a lot we can do that's not technically in sin, but it's going to be wood, hay, and stubble in the end that's going to be burned up before the judgment seat of Christ. The Holy Spirit calls us on to the gold, the silver, the precious stones that will endure, that we'll be rewarded for forever. And that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit to the world. Sin, righteousness, judgment, but He continues to speak those things to the hearts of believers. But positively now, thirdly, we see the counsel of the Spirit, verses 12 to 15. Christ tells the 11, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. There's a lot that Christ desires to tell, to teach the disciples about what will come. He's been speaking to them about the Holy Spirit and His ministry during the age of grace. This is the Holy Spirit's ministry during this time period we are in now, but between Christ's ascension and His return. So maybe He wanted to tell them more about the age of grace, the mysteries of the church, how Jew and Gentile will be brought together by faith into one body, about the power of the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit that they can bear in their lives, more about Christ's return, more about the final judgment that's coming, all these things that occupy most of the epistles and the book of Revelation. Perhaps Christ desired for them to know these things. However, they were not ready to receive this revelation. First, that they were not in a state to understand it, that they were in sorrow. I'm afraid at this point, much of what Christ was saying was just kind of washing over them. They couldn't get past the thought that Jesus was leaving them. The Spirit was going to bring these things to remembrance later, but I don't think they fully understood all this at this point. So emotionally, they just weren't in a position to receive what Christ had to say to them. And additionally, they still had a carnal expectation of the kingdom. Even after Jesus rose from the dead, He's getting ready to ascend. They said, Lord, will You set up Your kingdom now? They were still looking for Him to rule and reign in Jerusalem. And they didn't understand that He had been rejected and the kingdom had been put off for a time. So they're not ready to understand all this. And additionally, they didn't have the Spirit within them yet to teach them. All the revelation that Christ wanted to share was a weight that was too great to bear and that they would need help. But praise the Lord, Christ was going to provide that help. He was going to provide the Spirit that they could understand and that they could bear the revelation He was going to give them later. In 15:15, John 15:15, Christ said, I've shared all things with you. And He shared all these things in an embryonic form. He did mention His church, the called out assembly. He gave them the Olivet Discourse, saying something about judgment. But it's all in kind of a clouded form. They wouldn't understand it all clearly until His departure and the coming of the Spirit. So He has all these things to tell them, but they're not ready yet. Howbeit, nevertheless, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you in all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. They will receive all knowledge and understanding that Christ desires for them. They don't need to feel like they're missing out. Christ is going to teach them everything they need to know when the Spirit comes. Verses 8 through 11, that was primarily the Holy Spirit's ministry to the world as a whole, His convicting calling ministry to bring them to salvation. Points 1 and 3, verses 7 and verses 13 to 15 here, that is primarily His ministry of comfort and truth to believers. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will lead them. He will teach them into all truth. He's not just teaching them about truth. He will lead them into truth itself. It's that same into, the Greek word ace, preposition, that's used for salvation when we believe in or believe into Jesus Christ. It signifies a relationship that we're not just mentally learning about truth. He will bring us into truth that we may understand it mind and heart, and that we may live out and live in light of the truth of Christ. They will understand all without error. But here, He will lead you. This is not going to be a one-time event. At Pentecost, Yes, the Holy Spirit came upon them with power, but they didn't instantaneously understand all these truths. Christ slowly taught them. Likewise, at salvation, we don't get saved at whatever age and just, great, now I understand all the Bible and know everything I need to know. It's a lifelong process of hearing and listening and studying Scripture and praying and being taught and led by the Spirit. And then living it out. When the Spirit of truth comes, He is going to help them. He's going to enable them to bear these things. Christ says, you can't bear it now. You can't handle it. And we can't handle the truth of Scripture in our own minds. Because we say, as the Scripture says, it's foolishness to the human mind. We need a helper to bear these things. And what was once impossible, He makes easy. If we study Scripture on our own, and how often do we fall into this trap that we separate our prayer and our study of Scripture. We pray for things that, okay, now it's my time of devotion, that I'm going to read the Bible, and we read it, and we come to these things, and our mind strains and struggles, and we, of ourselves, we can't understand it. But then, when we ask the Spirit's direction and guidance, He just opens them up so easily. At the barn where my family raises pigs, it's an older barn, and believe it or not, concrete wears out. They're on a concrete slatted floor that their waste kind of goes through, so they don't lay in it. And some of that concrete, it's 10 foot by like 4 foot slabs, and their support on each end. And they were bowed in the middle. Some of them were wearing out, so we had to replace them. And we've done that before, one at a time, and they weigh 1,500 pounds. So that's hard to move. And it's in a barn. You can't bring a piece of equipment. So there's been times that Dad and I would have handles, and we'd be heaving our guts out just to lift one end of these things up, just to move it just a little bit. But we had more this time. So Dad worked with our hired men, and he built a big metal contraption. It's got a winch, and now we push a button, and it just, yeah, we have to put our effort in. We have to pull and pry, but it takes the strain off of us. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives if we'll let Him. Instead of us trying to study and work through all these things on our own, He wants to open them up to us. As I study for the sermon, I have commentaries, and I try to get into the original languages and bring some of those things out, but friend, some of that's great, but you don't need that to have the Spirit speak to you. If you will diligently study the Word of God and be prayerful over it, the Spirit wants to reveal these things to you. He wants to lift that burden. He wants to enable you to bear it, to have understanding. But in this also, it's twofold. It's first, it's Christ speaking to what He's going to do specifically in the apostles. And this is what we call the pre-authentication of the New Testament. Christ putting His stamp of approval on the New Testament before it was ever written. That by the Holy Spirit, the New Testament is going to be His words. And we see this all laid out in the Gospel of John. We won't run down all the Scriptures, but in John 14, 26, He promised that they would remember His words. That's the authentication of the Gospels, that they would perfectly remember what Christ told them. In Acts 15, or in John 15, 26 and 27, He said that the Spirit and the apostles would be a witness for Him. Well, that's the authentication of the book of Acts, the actions therein and what it teaches. Here we see Him talk about leading us in all truth of those things that they weren't ready to receive. That's the epistles, the further explanation. And we're going to get to in verses 13 and 14, the things to come. That's His authentication of revelation, the final revelation of the end times. So the Spirit will lead them in all truth. He will teach them these things that are the Word of God that will be recorded for us. The Spirit is not going to speak about what He wants. He's not going to speak His own words. Rather, He gets the message directly from His senders, from Christ and from the Father. And that is what He shares with us. So specific to the apostles, He'll announce future prophecy. He will give them the inspired revelation and revelation into the future that they will need to get the church started. For us today, He provides illumination. He gives us understanding of Scripture. He helps us understand what God is telling us. Understanding, it's not just reading and memorizing Scripture. It's meditating on it. It's allowing, giving the Spirit opportunity and time and asking Him to let it speak to our hearts and give us wisdom. He, the Spirit, shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. The Spirit never seeks to glorify Himself. I was talking to Denny. You look at our hymnal, and there's all these hymns about Christ, and there's so few by the Spirit. There's so few about the Spirit. And in a way, that's sad that because the Spirit does so much for us. I wish there was some more. But it's not the Spirit's desire to be glorified. We don't sing songs so much of praise to the Spirit because He wants to deflect attention to Christ. He wants to glorify Christ. He's kind of in the background. And that is a major issue of the charismatic movement, that they put so much focus on the Spirit. The Spirit does thus and so, and we need the Spirit, and they just talk about the Spirit, and yes, the Spirit is important, but the focus should be on Christ. And it's on Christ's work. At salvation, we get the Spirit, and that's all we need. They put focus on, oh, there's a second work of grace, and then you get the Spirit, or then you get the baptism of the Spirit later on. You can't separate the Spirit from Christ's work and our salvation. It's all tied together. So that's a major issue of focus, which has led them into a lot of wrong doctrine. But the Spirit's purpose, what's His purpose? What we talked about in verses 8 through 11, it's to point the world to Christ. He's not out there saying, hey, I'm the Holy Spirit and I'm in the world. He's saying, look at Christ. Christ came. Christ died. You need a relationship with Him. He wants to bring people to faith in Christ, and He wants to bring glory to the name of Christ. He receives all things, all words that are Christ's, and the Spirit is glorified when Christ is glorified. So therefore, He announces everything that He receives of Christ to the 11 and to believers. He tells us everything we need to know. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore saith I that He shall take of mine and show it unto you. The Father is master and creator of universe, time, everything, so everything is rightfully His. Well, Christ says that all that the Father has is mine. So the Father has everything, He gives everything to Christ, and Christ says the Holy Spirit shares of His. So the Holy Spirit is sharing of Christ's treasury, which is everything imaginable. He shares that with us. So by the Holy Spirit, we have access to everything we could need, every strength, every power, every wisdom. We have access to all by the Holy Spirit. Anything we could conceive of, anything we could need. The Son lived as the revelation, and if you will, the exegesis of the Father. I talk about my preaching is exegetical. We look to gain understanding, to show what the Scripture means. Christ was the exegesis of the Father. He revealed the Father and what He meant. And now the Spirit is the exegesis, the revelation of Christ. He reveals and explains Christ to the world. In the Old Testament times, that there were some things that weren't revealed clearly. The church wasn't shown clearly. The full reality of the two advents of Christ wasn't fully understood. There was shadows and there was types. But now Christ is saying the floodgates are open. There is nothing that mankind needs to know that I am going to hold back. It will be made clear now in the New Testament and by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will show all these things to the believer. So therefore, we have all knowledge, all wisdom, all tools at our disposal that we could possibly need. Praise the Lord for that. Everything we could need, because the Holy Spirit speaks it to our hearts. Praise the Lord, it's not a one-time thing, that He just doesn't knowledge dump it and then say, well, I hope you remember all that. It's constant reminding, because we need that sometimes. Sometimes we need convicted of that sin, that righteousness, and that judgment. When in the mid-1800s, when photography was in its infancy, they found compounds that would respond differently to light. So if they exposed it to light, you could see the image form. That you could see the light places and dark places, and a picture would happen. The problem was fixing that picture, making it permanent. As soon as you took that away, it would begin to fade away. That's how we are a lot of the time, that we read Scripture or the Spirit says something to us, and, oh, I understand that sin, or I understand my need, and it just we go on and it fades away. Praise the Lord that we constantly have the Holy Spirit there to fix those things in our heart, to remind us of our need, to teach us, to encourage us, to lead us. We've seen the comfort of the Spirit. Christ is out of the world, but we can still rejoice because the Spirit is with us and in us. We've seen the conviction of the Spirit. He speaks sin, righteousness, judgment to the world that they may come to know Christ. He speaks those things to our heart that we may live for Christ. We've seen the counsel of the Spirit. Any knowledge, wisdom, anything we need, it's at our disposal by the Holy Spirit. We've got the Spirit in us today. What more could we ask for? What a great blessing we have. The Spirit speaks the gospel to the world's heart. But God's chosen instrument is preaching, is people to share the gospel. God could have willed that the Holy Spirit would just go audibly and tell people the gospel, but that's not what he wants. His plan is that we take the Scripture and our testimony to the world. And as we do so, the Holy Spirit speaks. Praise the Lord that we have a true and totally reliable Scripture, that the Spirit will teach it to us. We can sit down with the author himself. The Spirit promises to reveal truths to you, to support you, to give you all you need. All that's for it is for us to ask, to use it, to rejoice. Life's heavy, friend. Don't just grab onto a handle and heave your guts out on your own. Give it to the Spirit. Give it to the Spirit. As you look, have you been convicted of sin, of righteousness, of judgment? Has the Spirit spoken that to your heart, that Jesus died for you and he rose again? Have you ever put saving faith in Christ Jesus that you don't need to receive the judgment for your sin, that you can instead receive the righteousness of Christ? Have you come to Christ as Savior? Christian friend, are you still soft to the Spirit's prompting and calling? As he still convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment, do you listen? Do you heed? Do you change? Is there an area of your life that you're still pulling on your own? Will you give that? Will you ask wisdom and give these things, whether it's knowledge, whether it's an area of service, will you give it to the Spirit and allow him to control and to lead in your life? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. We thank you that he is come, that he speaks to our hearts, that he gives us comfort when we need. Lord, we who are believers, we praise you that the Spirit drew us because we weren't running around looking for you. We thank you that you loved us and drew us. Lord, please help us to be soft of heart. I ask if there's one here who has never received Christ as Savior. I know they have heard the gospel now this morning. The Holy Spirit is speaking to their heart. Please help them to soften their heart to it. Please help them to turn from everything else they were counting on and receive the righteousness of Christ in place of judgment. Lord, as believers, please reveal where we need to be softened to you. Please lead us. Please convict us. Please help us to give our trials and troubles to the Spirit and allow him to take them and lead us in all truth and wisdom, Lord. We love you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If the Spirit is speaking to your heart this morning, one way you can help fix that decision is by coming to the altar to deal with that before God, as Denny leads us in our closing hymn.